Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you right now. The lines are wide open, and we invite your call to 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or something you'd like to discuss, give us a call right now. Again, 844-322-2742 is the number in the U.S. and in Canada. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We come to the end of our month on grace, the grace of God, and it's such a powerful topic. It really is the heart and soul of the gospel message. Paul calls the gospel of grace. Grace saves us. Grace sustains us. Grace is everything. Why? It's attached to the person and work of Jesus Christ. And I find it interesting, and I'll ask this question, how many people out there in our listening audience know what the last verse of the Bible actually says? And I would think very few would know that, but here I'm going to read it to us. It simply says this, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen." So the Bible begins with the words, "In the beginning, God," and it ends with these words, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people." I think that should tell us something. I mean, that should show us a priority as far as God is concerned for you and me as believers in Christ. Grace is everything, and that's the final note that God strikes for us to hear. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. We just look at it as a doctrine. We just look at it as one of many interesting subjects in the Bible. And here I think Jesus is putting it in its right priority. It is absolutely everything to us. Apart from the grace of the Lord Jesus, there is absolutely no connection to God. Apart from the grace of the Lord Jesus, we could never call ourselves God's people. Apart from the grace of the Lord Jesus, we could never have hope. We could never have forgiveness. We could never have life everlasting. We could never have righteousness. We could never have sanctification. We could never have justification. We could never have reconciliation. We could never have any of those things apart from the grace of God. So in the beginning, God, and the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Let's talk about it on today's broadcast. Let's really bring this month of talking about the grace of God to a really fitting ending, so to speak. It's not something that we're ever going to go away from. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about the grace of God as well.
Sure.
And you know, a year from now we're going to be talking about the grace of God. But as a month, as a theme, today is the last day. So let's make today fitting as we talk about the grace of the Lord Jesus and the fact that that's God's final note for each and every one of us, that God's grace will be with us, his people.
Well, indeed, it is the final day of the month of October, and this is, of course, the deadline today, the last day to take advantage of the $5,000 challenge grant to inspire more of you, our friends, to support Basic Gospel. Now, you know, your gift this final month of October will have double the impact and reach even more people with God's love and his transforming grace. We urge you to take advantage of this awesome opportunity by donating at basicgospel.net. And as our thanks for your gift, our 2-CD series, Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out, will be coming to your mailbox. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net or call now 844-412-2742 and speak with Billy, our operator. She would love to hear from you right now, 844-412-2742, to make your very best gift on this final day of October and the final day of our $5,000 challenge grant.
Yes, indeed. We hope many people will take advantage of that, will help us reach more and more people with this good news of God's love and grace. That's what the world needs, folks. It needs the grace of God.
You bet.
That's the only connection to God. That's the only connection to really knowing who he is and what he has created us to be. So help us get that grace of God out to as many people as we possibly can. Be generous today as you go to our website, basicgospel.net, or call 844-412-2742, 844-412-2742. 412-274-2. Talk with Billy. Tell her that you would like to give. You would like to be a part of this $5,000 matching grant challenge, and that you would like to help get the grace of God out to more and more people. We would greatly appreciate it. Folks out there who are seeking, who are looking for answers, who need hope, who need help, will say thank you eternally because you gave to help connect them to the grace of the Lord Jesus.
Yes, indeed. Once again, that number, 844-412-2742, 844-412-2742.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Fairfax, Virginia, and talk with Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. I wanted to ask today about value, specifically our value in God's sight. I think it's a really important subject to talk about, and I suspect that all the truths that you make available day after day are all statements of the value that God places on us. But it's so easy, and I find myself having difficulty with this too, it's so easy to then start defining our value by our performance and our mistakes. And we treat it like it's a stock price that goes up and down. And I wanted to ask for people who feel themselves to be devalued, or maybe other people have offered their own opinion or assessment of their value, how does the gospel bring in a very needed assessment of our value in God's sight?
Chris, excellent question. And I love the stock price analogy. And
yes,
we wonder, I think taking that a little further, we wonder if God is bullish on us or bearish. It's kind of interesting.
Personally, I know my price earnings ratio is way off.
So I think that's a great analogy, Chris. And I think you're really, really spot on with that. And, you know, in our minds, our value does go up and down. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is pinned to our performance or our feelings or our thinking. You know, am I thinking good thoughts? Am I thinking bad thoughts? Well, if I'm thinking bad thoughts, God's probably mad at me. God's disappointed. So my value goes down as far as I'm concerned. I may be doing really well, having a great day. Things are going great for me. I've had an opportunity to tell others about Jesus, and I think, wow, my worth goes up. But I think we really need to pin everything, all of our thinking about who we are in Christ, to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The fact that he died on our behalf, the fact that he was raised so that we could have life everlasting, that gives us a value that is even beyond our own comprehension. And we really can't fathom why the God who created this universe would do such a thing. But he did. And because he did, that tells us something about his view of us as individuals, as people. And so I think our value needs to really be pinned to Christ's work on our behalf. And that brings us a measure of stability, of security, of certainty. You know, my feelings can go up and down, my situations can go up and down, but what God has done for me in Christ never changes, does it?
And that's right.
And I think that is the boldest statement that we will ever hear or ever read about our value and worth as far as God is concerned.
Yeah, I think that sometimes it's tempting to read the Bible as like a list of concepts that have been made true about us. Like, we know in 1 Corinthians 1, it talks about all the things that are true about us in Christ, that Jesus is our redemption, our sanctification, our wisdom. And then we kind of see those as just these abstract concepts. But without bringing in the love of God and the grace of God, they just kind of seem like theories or just formulas, and they don't seem to say anything about our value, which is why I wanted to bring that topic to the table, because I think they are saying a lot about that. It's just kind of maybe easy to miss at first.
Yeah, Chris, I think you're really spot on there. And, you know, like you said, we have all these doctrines And we can approach things theologically. We can approach things academically. But, you know, at some point that's not going to be enough for us because something else will surface that will kind of take center stage as far as who we really are. I know here's what the Bible says, that Jesus is my redemption, but I have this other thing over here that's going on. I have this sin from my past that keeps surfacing, and I don't know what to do with it. Or I have this, something horrible happened to me, and I can't shake it. And that becomes the thing that really defines who we are and determines our worth. So we can't look at this gospel as merely doctrine, although there's doctrine infused into it. It really is reality, that Jesus does love us, that Jesus does care for us, and so much so that he came and became one of us, and he died in our place so that we could have life everlasting. So we have to get back to the real story, the story of it. And that's what makes it all, I think, come to a wonderful place inside of us. It brings us to that place where we really know that we are cherished and loved by God.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's really important that we have to bring in the love and the grace of God. And in doing so, I think all these things that the Bible talks about, they become personal. It's not just like abstract and nebulous. It's like, wow, he's saying those things specifically about me.
Yeah.
So guys, as always, thank you so much for all the truths that you proclaim every day on Basic Gospel, and for making these truths, making them jump off the pages of the Bible and land right in the hearts of specific individuals. I appreciate the way you make yourselves available, and you guys have an awesome rest of your day.
Hey, you do the same, yeah, Chris. Thanks, Chris. And I think that's one of the best questions we've ever had. And Chris, thank you for posing it the way you did. Well done.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Thanks, Chris. Well, we have plenty of open lines. We'd love for you to join the conversation at 844-322-2742. Plenty of time, plenty of open lines, 844-322-2742. Guys, a question for Barbara in Michigan. Since Jesus is the only way, how were people in the Old Testament times saved?
Well, exactly the way we are, by grace through faith. No difference. When God approached Abraham and brought to him all these promises and blessings and those sort of things, as a part of that was a promise about Jesus. Through your seed, the world is going to be blessed. That was a message about Jesus. And it was to that message that Abraham responded. He believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness.
Yeah.
So he responded to the knowledge or the revelation that God had given him concerning the Messiah, this promised seed. Now, you track that all the way through the Old Testament, you see that there was this unfolding story about Jesus, and the people of God really responded to that story. Well, we find the full story in the New Testament. Jesus arrived. Yeah. He was no more a long-awaited Messiah. He was on the scene, and he carried out what God had sent him to do. He died, he was buried, and on the third day, he rose back to life, and he ushered in a new covenant. So this new creation started, you know, the day Jesus came back to life. That death kind of put an end to the old, and his resurrection brought in this new, and we're a part of that. And that's good news, isn't it? But it's always from start to finish by grace through faith in Jesus. The Bible is God's testimony concerning his son. We see that all the way through, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah. This is that question we just answered is so closely related to Chris's question about value. I mean, we tend to think in our point in history that because Jesus has came and we Jesus has come, and we know about him, and there's this history and all of that, that somehow our decisions are probably worth more somehow than those decisions were, because we think of value in terms of exchange for goods and services. That's not what value is about in this economy. The value in this economy is God showing up to Abraham and saying, in your seed, your offspring, the whole world is going to be blessed. Are you willing to trust me on this? I love you so much that I want you to be the father of Jesus. If you think about the the whole history. And Abraham says, okay. Well, Abraham hadn't done anything good, bad, or otherwise. In fact, we know, after he got the promise, he wasn't always the best guy. His value to God had nothing to do with his performance. His value to God had everything to do with the fact that God initiated to him, and he responded, yes, I will allow you to do this through me. And it's been that way through the Mosaic Covenant, through David, through the New Testament when Jesus was here, and now that Jesus has gone back and we have the Holy Spirit, it's exactly the same way today. Our salvation has nothing to do with any intrinsic value that we have. Our salvation is based on the fact that God says, Richard, I value you, and I want to give you life if you'll accept it.
Yes, yes, indeed. And one of the things that you said there was that Abraham became part of God's story.
Yes.
So the story to bless the world through his seed. Mm-hmm. So Abraham became a willing participant. That says something about the value of mankind, that God wants us to participate in his story, to participate in his great rescue mission. We have a vocation, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It's a vocation of being a part of a royal priesthood. It's a vocation of reaching out and declaring the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. So we're a part of that story. God has seen fit to include us.
Yes.
So he not only saves us, he includes us in this great rescue story that is happening today, that is marching forward to that point where everything becomes new. We're already a part of that, right? We're already new creatures in Christ. We're a part of this new creation story that is unfolding in Jesus, and we're going to be there at the end. So we see what God says about us just in Christ through the love that was poured out in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We see something of God's thinking about us and the fact that he has included us in this story and counted us worthy to carry out this mission. That's really a powerful thing.
This realization never results in me saying, yeah, finally, God got it about me. No, this leads to humility.
Right.
Yeah, good stuff,
right.
Guys.
That we finally got it about God. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Friends, just a reminder that today is the last day to take advantage of our $5,000 challenge grant. You know, your gift by midnight tonight will have double the impact in reaching people with the good news of Jesus Christ. And at the same time, as our thanks for your partnership, you'll receive our CD series, Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or use your phone and speak to Billy. You can do that right now and make your gift at 844-412-2742. Again, that number, 844-412-2742. Question from Tim in Indianapolis says, can you please explain 1 John 5:16-17? Tim says, I'm thinking that this is talking about Christians who sin in the flesh, who may, as an example, contract some disease that would eventually take their life. What are your thoughts on that? That's from Tim in Indianapolis.
So here's what that passage says. If you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death, and I am not saying that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. Now, the wages of sin is death.
Yeah,
all sin leads to death. Mm-hmm. So what in the world is he talking about about here? Are there degrees of sin? You know, is a little white lie, you know, okay, and other things are not okay? And what does he mean? You know, don't pray about somebody that you're seeing committing a sin unto death. What does he mean by that? Well, one, let's bring some clarity. First of all, I think we pray for people. We pray for those who are lost, who are dead in sin. We pray for the opportunity to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray that God would lead them into a saving relationship with his Son, and that they will be made alive together with Christ. So we pray for people within the sphere of our influence who need Jesus. I know there's lots of people out there, a part of the Basic Gospel Nation, who are praying for listeners every single day that somehow God would use this program to deliver good news that would touch them where they are, that would meet their need, current need, and if they're lost, that they will receive the good news of Jesus Christ. So I think we pray for people. And so what is this sin that leads to death? Well, I think there's a good illustration of that in Acts chapter 12. We see it very, very clearly there. I've always made this connection. I don't know that anybody else has made this connection, but it seems to hold some water as far as I'm concerned. Said, then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. He had been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon. They now joined together and sought an audience with him. After securing the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace because they depended upon the king's country for their food supply. Now on the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a god, not of a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. What was the sin unto death? Well, his willingness to accept praise as if he were a god.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable. That is idolatry at its worst sense. And if you see people out there who are accepting praise as if they are a god, I think that's the sin that leads to death. We see it very clearly right here. Richard, do you have any thoughts on that?
I think you're exactly right. And of course, the Bible gives us one of those gross examples of that kind of thing. And if you look at all of John's first letter, I mean, he talks about sin and not sinning, and he talks about people who have ceased to sin. And what he's talking about is this relationship with Jesus. If we have dealt once and for all with the unbelief issue, I have accepted Jesus, I no longer suffer from that sin. And that is the source of the sin that leads to death, is that unbelief. And so if we keep the whole thing in context and then put it in the context of these other stories, we actually see that there are things that if you go one-on-one with God, he will smite you. And he does that rightly, lovingly, but we don't have to be there. And so we pray for each other so that the belief comes.
That's why we need the grace of God. And let's conclude just with that last verse in Revelation. Dear, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen.
Amen. Well, friends, tonight is the deadline at midnight to take advantage of our $5,000 challenge grant for the purpose of helping more people hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. Your gift on this final day of October will have double the impact and reach even more people with God's life-transforming grace. So we urge you to take advantage of this awesome opportunity by donating today, tonight. And as our thanks for your gift, our two CD series, Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out, will be on its way to your home. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or speak with Billy right now at 844-412-2742 to make your best gift today. That's basicgospel.net online or 844-412-2742 by phone. At midnight tonight is the deadline. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.